and welcome to Travel Fun. My name is Mary Beth Clementi, and I'm the host of this talk show on travel. And this week I have a very special guest. I have Kelly Lichen on the phone from Vail, Colorado. Kelly is the chef owner of Kelly Lichen Vail, terrific restaurant in Vail Village. And she is also one of the top chef testants on Bravo's Top Chef. And Kelly made Colorado proud with her participation in this top-rated TV program. And I'm going to divulge right away. Most of you probably know that my show is taped. And we are actually taping this the day after the finale on Bravo's Top Chef. So Kelly and I are going to be chatting about that in the first part of the program. And then in the second part, we're going to be talking about Kelly and Colorado. I'd like to welcome Kelly Lichen to Travel Fun. Hi, Kelly.
Hi, Mary Beth. How are you?
Great. It's wonderful to have you on. Here it is, the day after the finale on Top Chef. I don't know about you, but I'm pretty tired.
Yes, absolutely.
Did you have a big...
I'm definitely a little tired, but it was very exciting to be a part of and exciting to watch last night.
Did you have a party at the restaurant last night?
I was at the restaurant last night. I was actually working, but quite a few of my friends and also some great customers and fans of the show came and had some appetizers and some wine. It was great fun.
I know that you've been having ongoing events at the restaurant tied in with Top Chef. And we can now say that Kevin Sobraga was voted Top Chef. Did that surprise you?
Not at all. I actually was a Kevin fan from the beginning. He was always my pick to win if I didn't win. Of course, I was originally my pick to win, but when I was eliminated in the first half of the finale, he went on to be my pick. His food is just beautiful and amazing and very simple. He actually would do very well in Colorado.
Well, you certainly made Colorado proud. Now, tell me, how many contestants started out the program this season?
We started in the house in Washington, D.C. with 17 chefs.
17.
Yes, it was crowded for a little while. We whittled it down over the course of 12 challenges to 4 chefs. And then the 4 of us, it was Angelo Sosa, Ed Cotton, Kevin Sbraga, and myself, we went on to compete in the finale in Singapore.
Right, and we're going to talk about Singapore in a minute. What a wonderful destination. How did you become involved with Top Chef?
I was encouraged to apply, but there is an application process just like any other competition and or television show, and it's a rather lengthy process with open casting and that sort of thing. So I actually started that process about 7 or 8 months before I actually was chosen and went to D.C.
Well, it certainly is a big hit. In fact, it recently received an Emmy for Best Reality Show, and it shows how popular Top Chef is across the U.S.
Yeah, it's very exciting.
Was the whole experience like you imagined it would be?
You know, the experience actually wasn't exactly how I imagined it. It's very different from what you see on television, and mostly because it is, it's a well-oiled machine, the way they film it and the way they accomplish so much in such a short amount of time. So it really actually was, it went by faster than I thought it would, and it was longer days and not a whole lot of downtime. It kind of looks like you're working just like you normally, when you watch it, it looks like you're working like you normally would in a restaurant or something, but we're actually working, 16 or 17 hours a day and every day. So I think it was probably about, for the 4 of us who made it to the end of D.C., I think about 35 days straight. So it was definitely more exhausting than I thought it would be.
Well, yeah, it really seemed as though you're going in fifth gear the whole time. I was particularly impressed by all the quick-fire challenges.
It's definitely fifth gear the whole time. You really just have to dig deep and keep moving, because the minute you stop, you're sort of dead in water. But it was an amazing experience, but an exhausting experience at the same time.
What was the best part of the whole Top Chef experience?
Oh, no question. The best part of the experience was the people I met and the things I learned from them, the relationships that were built and the friendships, as well as the professional relationships. We all got along so well. You don't always see that, after the edit, but we all got along so well, and we had so much fun together, and we just really loved bouncing ideas off of each other and, you know, talking about our different styles. And so that, I think, I will take away as absolutely the best part of the Top Chef experience.
And what was the worst part?
Somebody's rolling something by. Do you want me to wait a minute?
That's fine. We know that you're in a busy kitchen, and it's coming up on dinner time. That's fine.
Okay, great. Okay. The worst part of the experience, I don't know. I think maybe the sleep deprivation, that was difficult. I personally don't deal well with sleep deprivation. Trying to be on your A game in fifth gear every single day on not a lot of sleep. Generally, looking back on it, as challenging as it was, there aren't a whole lot of big, big-time negatives.
No, and that's why it's such a great show to watch, because we really feel the energy that all of you chef testants and the judges create, and it's become one of my favorite shows. So how do you like being in front of the camera?
I'm sorry, could you repeat that?
How do you like being in front of the camera?
Actually, I enjoy being in front of the camera. This was a little different than my previous television experience. I have a show on Plum TV, which airs in Vail, Telluride, and Aspen. So it's a few markets in Colorado called In Season with Kelly Lycan. And in that show, I love being in front of the camera. Because it's more of like I'm more of like the host of the show, and I have a little bit more control. Within the reality world, it's kind of funny because you don't want to ever look at the camera. You kind of want to just ignore the camera, because that's what makes the reality. That's what makes the best look on reality TV, as if it's almost like the cameras aren't there. So it actually was a little challenging at first, because I was used to looking straight into the camera and talking to the audience, and that's something you don't want to do in reality TV. So it actually took me on the opposite end, a little bit of getting used to. Kind of, I had to learn how to ignore them.
Well, you came across very well, very natural, very down to earth. Do you think you'll be doing more TV aside from what you're already doing with Plum?
I would love to do more TV. I just think it's a really fun, creative medium. I will always be a restaurant chef. That's really where my passion lies. But, I've found a bit of a passion in this new creative medium. I'm not sure I'll do a whole lot more reality competition television. I feel like I had this amazing opportunity to be a part of the best reality competition show in America, and, where do you go from there? But I'd love to look into doing some other food TV, some more recipe-based, maybe teaching-based television.
Okay, let's get back to the two final episodes of Top Chef that took place in Singapore. You made it to the penultimate challenge. There were four remaining, and you were the only female in the group, and you traveled to Singapore. How awesome was that?
Oh, Singapore was amazing. It's just this amazing, tiny little country that is an amalgamation of so many really rich cultures. It was just beautiful. We had opportunity to tour and eat, and it was just, it was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. I really loved it. The food was phenomenal.
That's terrific to hear that you had opportunity to tour and to have some fun. How long were you there in all?
I was there. All four of us were there for about 10 days. I was in the competition for the first half of that 10 days, and then not in the competition for the second half.
And the market they showed in that episode just seemed extraordinary. Talk a little bit about that, the open-air market.
The markets are great, yeah. the markets were great, specifically the spice markets. You'd go to, there's a little area of the city called Little India, where many, many people from India have settled, and they just have a whole street that is nothing but spice markets. And each market kind of has their specialty, you know, so they'll each have their own house-blended curry or garam masala. It was just amazing in that. Yeah, I mean, I wish we had, radio smell-o-vision or something, because the aromas were just, you just walk down the street, and, you know, every 10 feet, you'd get this new, beautiful aroma. It was just, it was really, really a special experience for someone who's, you know, so into food and exploring new ingredients and new techniques.
Were you able to easily identify most of the ingredients that were on sale in the market, most of the products?
I would say I could identify, it was like about 50-50, because, you know, we're so lucky in this country now. At this point, our cooking has evolved to a point where it is so international that we are able to get a lot of interesting spices and ingredients. But at the same time, you go to a totally different culture, and they have their little secrets and things that never leave their country. So it was definitely an education.
I am visiting with Kelly Lichen, chef owner of Kelly Lichen Vale, in Vale, Colorado, of course, in Vale Village, actually. Kelly, do you have anything you'd like to add about your Top Chef experience?
Well, I would definitely love to just thank everyone in Colorado for all of the support. I have had overwhelming support from people from all over the state, not just in my town, but from all over, and I just really, really appreciate it. It continues to mean so much to me. It meant so much to me to feel so supported, especially last week when I, sadly had to pack my knives and go. So just a big thank you to everyone.
Well, as I said earlier, you certainly have made Colorado proud.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
And welcome back to Travel Fun. I am visiting with Kelly Lichen, chef owner of Kelly Lichen Restaurant in Vale Village, Colorado, and also one of the chef testants on Bravo's Top Chef. And we are taping this, actually, on the day after the Top Chef finale. Kelly, let's switch gears a little and talk about you and Colorado, your relationship with Colorado. You grew up in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and you went to school in Boulder, at CU Boulder. And I imagine that's where you first got your real taste of Colorado. And talk a little bit more about your love for Colorado.
Well, I moved to Boulder to go to college when I was 17, and from the moment I stepped foot in the state, I mean, I just fell in love with it. I feel like at heart, I was born and raised here, even though I wasn't. I do love Pittsburgh, too, in case there's any Pittsburghers out there, but Colorado's become my home. And it's a place that I'm very passionate about, and I'm very committed to its communities. I started cooking in college in Boulder, and that's really where I started learning about everything that Colorado has to offer in terms of food, and, you know, that just kind of expanded my passion for it. And so much so, I think that my parents, while I was in college, started visiting, and they fell in love with Colorado, too, and they bought a home here, and now they're here more than 6 months a year. So I'm proud to say that I'm continuing to help transplant people into our state.
And how did you choose Vail?
I chose Vail because my family's second home is here in the Vail Valley, and I really wanted to be close to my family. I wanted to be able to see them, you know, on the weekends. And also, I felt like at the time, Vail really, the restaurant market was very ripe. There was a lot of new restaurants opening at the time and with some amazing chefs who were getting some great accolades. And I really felt confident that I could cook my five-star food here in this community and that people would respond to it well.
In 2004, you took over a dilapidated Chinese restaurant eatery at the entrance to Vail Village, and you totally transformed it. I have to say, I had the pleasure of dining at your restaurant in April, and I was told you were away, and I think that must have been the time when you were filming Top Chef.
Yes, it was.
Talk a little bit more about your restaurant.
Well, my restaurant is right at the entrance to the Vail Village, at the main roundabout. It's about 65 seats with a 13-seat wine bar. It was a dilapidated Chinese buffet before my husband and I took it over, and we did transform it. It's now a very beautiful fine dining restaurant and wine bar. You know, the very warm colors. It's very metropolitan in style, which was slightly unusual 6 years ago when we opened. Much of the fine dining was more log cabin, mountain, antlers. And, you know, we really wanted to go metropolitan with it. So you get a lot of warm wine tones, burgundies and reds and golds. And we like to think that it's really a comfy place to sit and enjoy an evening with your loved ones or friends.
It is stunning, and I'm glad that you decided to keep the Chinese red touch, because that I love red, and it looks fantastic. Now, do you think there's a Colorado cuisine, per se?
I think that there's a few of us in Colorado who are very committed to creating one and are well on our way. And the lovely part about these people that I'm speaking of, you know, these chefs that I'm speaking of, are that we are creating our cuisine not so much in a style or a culture, but more of in an honor to what is indigenous and what grows here. And that's very exciting because there's so much more authenticity to that than just saying, well, Colorado cuisine is tomatoes and cilantro and corn or something like that. We're saying Colorado cuisine is what these people in our backyards can produce for us or grow for us. And the authenticity that lends to our menus and to our Colorado cuisine is, I think, just so amazing. The relationships that are involved just make that cuisine so rich.
What are some of your favorite Colorado products?
Oh, my goodness, there's so many. Right now, this time of year, Olathe sweet corn cannot be beat. You know, I mean, I'm eating sweet corn on everything. Randon Eggers owns a little farm in Palisade called Wind Farms, and he grows the most beautiful heirloom tomatoes. Those are so fabulous and so special because you're really only getting them for about a month or two a year. So, you know, we wait all year long for them, and then when we finally get to eat them, we just, you know, use them all over the place. I think Colorado makes some amazing cheeses. Even, you know, Haystack Mountain out of Boulder, you can get that now, I think, in just about any grocery store in Colorado. You know, you don't have to drive 2 hours out into the country to source it, and that's an exciting movement as well. What else do I love? There's so many.
Right.
It's hard to list them all.
And you're very involved with the Vail farmer's market. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yes, I actually in the summertime buy 100% of my produce from the Vail Farmer's Market and from the farmers who represent the Vail Farmer's Market. And that runs right around Father's Day through the end of September. And we even go so far as I make all my cooks and my sous chef put their chef coats on, and we go pick everything up. So we're right there in the middle with the community, talking to our community about, what we're buying, why we're buying it, why it's important. You know, we're encouraging people to buy for the whole week from these farmers and not just for tonight. So many people, I notice at these farmers markets, they have such good intentions and they love to cook and they love fresh food, but they go and they buy corn just for tonight, and then they go to the city market or the Kroger the next day and buy imported produce for the rest of the week. You know, and we're out there trying to encourage people to really, you know, truly support their community through supporting their farmers and their farmers markets.
And this time of year, it's so great to buy produce and find a way to freeze it, either by making a nice ratatouille or some other kind of dish.
Absolutely, and we actually do a lot of canning and preserving and pickling, as well as freezing. You know, we freeze a lot of... I don't actually have a huge freezer, so I can't do it as much as my farmers would like me to be quite honest. But we'll cook, we have tons of chanterelles right now in our walk-in, and we're going to cook them and freeze them so that we have them for the winter time. And spinach freezes beautifully. And, you know, we're always encouraging people to do that sort of thing as well so that you can be eating locally all year round.
And I believe you also have a stand. You sell some of your own products at the farmer's market?
We do. We actually sell gourmet snacks. Organic potato chips from russet potatoes from the San Luis Valley of Colorado. We always have a couple different flavors, and we make a couple different organic dips. This week we had a pico de gallo, heirloom tomato pico de gallo, and we also had a mixed herb hummus. And we also sell our organic cocktail mixes. So just some fun
Sounds
things.
Sounds terrific.
You know.
And that's all at the Vail Farmers Market. I believe that takes place on Saturdays.
Sundays, from 10 to 3
in Vail. Kelly, let's talk a little bit about your charity work. My goodness, you are such a busy lady. I don't know how you do it. You have a food program for children in schools. Tell us a little bit about that.
The program is called Sowing Seeds, and it is a program of the Vail Valley Foundation. My husband and I had this dream of an edible schoolyard in our own community, where we could be teaching kids how to grow their food, see the whole life cycle of the food, learn how to cook it, and enjoy eating fresh food. We always believe that the amount of lessons that can be learned in one greenhouse or one garden are just, I mean, they go all through an entire elementary school curriculum. Of course, that takes some money, and it took us a little while to figure it out, but the Vail Valley Foundation came to us about a year ago and said they wanted on board. So I'm very thankful to them. So it's called Sowing Seeds, and it's a program of the Vail Valley Foundation. And the pilot is at my local elementary school that's in my neighborhood in Eagle, Colorado. And we have a greenhouse, and we have a greenhouse manager. Her name is Sandy Story, and she's a horticulturist. And, I mean, it's just really exciting. We just started in March, and already these kids have just learned so much. We've made it very free will. We knew that if we expected the teachers to do all this extra work, they're already overworked and underpaid, that it just wouldn't work out. So Sandy basically posts her schedule in the teacher's lounge, and the teachers decide if they want to take their kids into the greenhouse or not. And we've found that we've been able to integrate lessons from this greenhouse into every area of the curriculum, from math to science to English and writing, obviously nutrition, and it's gone so far that this summer the kids were so excited, they didn't want to leave for the summer, so we did a summer camp where the kids came. We went to the Eagle Farmers Market every Friday night. They harvest their own vegetables. They get to decide how much they think they're worth, within reason, of course. They're selling them to our local community members, and that money is going right back into our greenhouse. We did children's cooking demos all summer long at the farmer's market as part of our summer camp. It's just really fun. And then the very, very best part about this, and I can't believe it's happened so fast, is that the school board was so excited about the progress that they saw in such a short amount of time that they threw a little extra money at it, and we were able to hire a chef, and we are from scratch cooking in the cafeteria now at Westwood Elementary.
That's been six months.
So.
Bravo. Well, that's an extraordinary achievement. We're running out of time here. I just want to mention, you had mentioned your husband two or three times, and his name is Rick Kolomitz. Am I pronouncing that correctly?
That's right.
And yes. When I went to your restaurant in Vail, one of the things that I thought was really nice is it's sort of the reverse of what you find in France. I spent an awful lot of time in France. I lived in Paris for a long time. And in France, you often see the man, the chef, the male chef is in the kitchen and the wife is out working the room. And it was nice to see it turned in your restaurant. You weren't in the kitchen when I was there. You're off filming Top Chef. But I did meet your husband, and he certainly had a lovely presence in the dining room. So you are a modern couple.
We are. We don't have the same last name, and I'm in the kitchen. It is different. But, you know, for us, we get that question a lot, and I see how different it is than sort of the tradition. But for us, it's funny because he's so such a natural and such a natural host and salesperson. And it seems normal for us, but it is. It's kind of everything flipped on its head.
Right. No, it's terrific. I have been visiting with Kelly Lykin, owner of Kelly Lykin in Vail Village, a terrific restaurant. And there are lots of events happening at the restaurant, too. So check out the website. And the website is kellylykin.com, I believe, Kelly?
That's right.
Okay. And check out Bravo's Top Chef website, and there are all kinds of interviews on there about the program, and they have your exit interview, Kelly, and all the whole experience you had, and so that was quite the happening, and congratulations for all. Kelly, enjoy the wonderful harvest season, and thank you so much for being a guest on Travel Fun.
Thank you, Mary Beth, for having me. It was really fun.
Sure. And I am going to be posting this interview as a podcast very soon, and that will be at my site, bonjourcolorado.com. So check it out, and you can hear the whole interview with Kelly. Kelly, thanks again. And take care, and be sure to say hi to your husband for me.
Thank you so much. I will.
Bye-bye.
Come fly with me, let's fly away.
If you can use some exotic booze, there's a bar in far Bombay.
Come on, fly with me, we'll float down in the blue.
Fly with me, float down to Peru.
In Llama Land, there's a one-man band, and he'll toot his flute for you.
Fly with me, we'll take off in the blue.
Once I get you up there, where the air is rarefied,
we'll just glide, starry-eyed. Once I get you up there, I'll be holding you so very near.
You might even hear a gang of angels cheer just because we're together.
Weather-wise is such a cuckoo day.
You just say those words, we'll whip those birds down to Acapulco Bay. It is perfect,
perfect
for a flying honeymoon, baby.